podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
There we go. Do you know what? Just before I came on, I got a USB unrecognized error. So that's why the sound wasn't working at the start. Let's try that again. Hello, everyone. Welcome to As Is Team Selection ahead of Game Week 29. Hope you're all doing well and have enjoyed the international break. And I'm looking forward to going into a big double game week like we've got. I don't know if we've had too many times when we've had like an international break and then a big game week like this. So I'm quite looking forward to it. I've had an awful game week 28. So I'm looking forward to putting that to one side and focusing on 29. And I'll be talking a bit about my plans for that as well. The worst bit about having technical issues at the start is you get a delay of people in the chat. So like you start talking and no one can see it because you're like 30 seconds away. And then you work it out and then everyone's like, as you're muted. It's like, yeah, I know. Thanks for that. Yeah, sorry about that at the start. I wasn't actually muted. Like I said, it was a weird error with the mic. Don't know why it did that. But anyway, we're here now. Hopefully you can all hear me and everything's going well. There's quite a few of you in the chat already joining me at 9 a.m. On Thursday, which is nice. Where are you all from? I'd like to hear all the different places, all the different countries that people are listening in from as well. Let me know about which players you're going to be bench boosting as well. Let me know about your potential free hit teams, if there's any free hits floating about as well. Any wild cards? Anyone wild carding this week? That's a whole other strategy as well. I've still got mine to play. I'll probably be using that in a couple of weeks. I might even delay it from the plan of game week 30 like I was doing. I'll talk a little bit about that today. Look at that, straight away, Chinesa from Nigeria. Amazing. FPL rank chase from Oxford, a little bit closer to where I am. Amazing. Let's focus quickly on game week 28. Let's not dwell on this too much. It was really, really poor. I think, like I was saying on Black Box last night, I think it was poor for a lot of people, but the captaincy was the kind of the key. If you captain Saka, you probably ended up with a green arrow or a small green arrow. If you didn't captain Saka, you probably got a red. Or maybe if you went for Kane, you escaped with a small green if you got lucky elsewhere. But it just wasn't a good week. So many of the top transfers in blanked. You know, Chilwell was one of the most bought players. Watkins was really highly sought as well. Kane was being bought and captained and only got one goal. And then you had clean sheet wipeouts for, you know, for Arsenal, for Brentford, for Newcastle, for everyone. It was just a bit of a disaster. And then you had the blanks kind of on top of that with United and City and Brighton players all missing out. So, yeah, my team, I knew my team wasn't looking in the best shape. I only had 10 players out, but I had double Chelsea defence against Everton, Chilwell and Kepa, double Newcastle defence. I was hopeful for Trippier and Botman. You know, I had Henry and no Madison, so I hope Brentford could keep a clean sheet in that. I had Zinchenko against Palace, and he went off about a minute after they conceded. I had Saka. I was worried about not having Odegaard, and he didn't do anything. So that was like, if he hit like a double-digit haul as well, that would really finish me off this week. But he didn't. And then up front, I had Kane, Watkins and Tony. And I thought Ivan Tony with a home game against Leicester. I thought Brentford had been so strong at home. I thought Leicester had been struggling, you know, in the air, you know, struggling for goals. They bought in Iverson. We didn't know how that was going to go. And Brentford got a couple of goals, but just couldn't get anything for Tony. So that captaincy was a complete disaster. 2 points for him. Kane got six, which only marginally, but only 4 points better off if you went for him. But the real winners was anyone that went for Saka. The underlying stats did point they pointed to Crystal Palace having a weakness on Saka's side. I did note that, but the stats didn't suggest that Saka had an 18-point haul coming in him. I've been talking on these team selections about his stats being, you know, quite low down, actually. And it's the kind of the penalties that really, I think, are making a lot of people keeping faith in him. But I think the 18 points against Palace was just a reminder of what he can do from open play as well. And him going off, you know, in the internationals and scoring that amazing goal for England isn't going to harm his prospects. So there are question marks about what to do with Saka. There are question marks about what to do with Odegaard and Martinelli and all the other Arsenal players, really, in defence as well, coming into the double game week. We'll kind of talk about that in a bit. But I think Saka is just a hold now until to the end of the season. I've been toying with the idea of maybe switching him out try to jump in another player, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Saka to Madison would be the one that would potentially tempt me. I don't think I'm going to do it. I was a bit more like positive about it last night. I'm kind of going off the idea a little bit now. But yeah, anyway, I'll talk about that kind of in a bit as we go. But yeah, that was my team. Poor. Let's never talk about it again, because it was, I think it was one of the most frustrating game weeks ever, because you saw scores of everyone doing around about the same. Everyone, you know, without the captaincy was getting around kind of 40 points. And then, you know, just one decision like that can cost you 20 points pretty much, and sort of really derail how well things have been going. So it happens. I'm going to try not to let it get me down. Happens to the best of us. And we move on to the next game week. So this is how I'm currently set up for game week 29. This is without a wild card. So it's looking quite similar to a lot of teams that obviously wild carded a few weeks ago. So I think the wild carders will be overall happy with how things are gone. I know they had the disaster of the Salah points, but then, you know, they really needed the Brighton and Brentford players to come through in the double game week, and they both did in the second part of that double game week a few weeks ago, you know, with kind of March scoring and Smitoma getting the assist and then keeping the clean sheet and Brentford keeping the clean sheet and things like that. So I think overall the wild card compared to my non-wild card team has been a success. It just depends what I can do with the wild card a bit later on in the season. If I played it in 30, for example, I think it's going to end up looking a lot similar to everyone else's team, and I think there might be a bit more potential a bit further down the line. So I think I'm gonna hold on to it. But yeah, my team for 29 is Kepa in goal. It's Chilwell as well, so the double Chelsea defence. With two home games, one against the Villa at home game is probably the more likelihood of a clean sheet. I think there was a 0-0 between Chelsea and Liverpool early in the season, which obviously would be good with the double defence, even though I have got Salah. But, you know, I would maybe hope for some attacking returns from Chilwell and Salah in that game. Trippier and Botman, I am not really liking this Newcastle double up anymore. It was good for a couple of weeks and it's kind of run its course. I can't see a clean sheet for Newcastle against United. Against West Ham, maybe slightly more likely. West Ham at home, but they haven't been great. But Newcastle defensively have been poor. I mean, Botman's got the yellow flag. I think he's probably going to be all right. We'll find out most likely tomorrow. If he's not all right, then it means a hit's going to be on the cards, because I've got Danny Ward on my bench, who's going to have to move to a goalkeeper. A few players I've been looking at. I've been looking at De Gea, for example. I've been looking at Areola of West Ham. But I think it's going to move over to Steele to target that Brighton double game week. And I think he kind of keeps his place. So that's going to be the obvious move there. If Botman's out, then Botman, I've got more money in the bank, so I can move Botman to a Shaw, maybe, which wouldn't be too bad, actually. It's kind of one of those ones where you almost sort of want to have to pull the trigger to do it, because I don't really want Botman this week. I'd much rather have Shaw, but I don't think I could justify a four-point hit for it. But we'll see kind of what happens. It's one of those ones, right? I think Shaw outscores Botman by 4 points, so why wouldn't you make the move? And then Shaw's actually got a better game in game week 30 as well, at home to Everton. So there's a part of me that feels like just do it, but taking out a double game player for a double game player feels like a bit of a luxury. So I'm not sure if I will. I've got Rico Henry as well. Again, I'm not convinced there's going to be any clean sheets for Brentford in those two games, reliant on some attacking returns, which haven't really been too common for him. Midfield's looking strong, though. Rashford, McAllister, Salah, and Matoma. And I've got Saka as well. He's going to be my bench boost player. I've currently got McAllister captain. It's between him or Rashford. If Madison does end up coming in a kind of a last-minute frenzy for Saka, then it would most likely be him. I think Leicester have got the best double game week of the lot. I think Brighton are probably a close second with Brentford and Bournemouth. I think Rashford's double is good, Newcastle and Brentford. I think his ownership's obviously going to be really high. He's obviously got loads of routes to goals. He's in the best form in the league. His underlying stats are crazy. He's an excellent captaincy option this week. I'm just thinking Newcastle away isn't the easiest match for anyone, even though Newcastle have been a bit more leaky. Can I see United going there and scoring 2-3 goals? No, I think it's going to be a cagier affair, probably settled by one goal. And then Brentford at home. Brentford are a funny team. You know, we're kind of seeing different sides to them a lot this season. They absolutely decimated United early in the season. It was a very different United team, but they didn't have Casemiro, and they haven't got Casemiro again. They're a very high-pressing team, and I think that is the way that you get at United. Still, we put them under pressure and force them into mistakes, and I think there are still mistakes in that side. So, again, I think that's a could be a fairly tricky game for United, which is putting me off Rashford a little bit and leaning me towards McAllister or Madison. But I think any of them are good options. I think Salah's a good option as well. You're one of the two people left on Scout on Twitter who've still got him. I think Matoma's a good option and March as well, if you've got either of those. I mean, I've got McAllister and Matoma. Would I switch either of those to March? I don't think I would. I think I'm happy with those two. But again, I think if you've got March and Matoma, I think you'll probably be happy with those. I think it's amazing to have three options in the Brighton midfield that people are reasonably happy with. And it's hard to know which ones are going to go off, you know, this week. McAllister and March are still the kind of stats darlings. So if that's how you like to play the game, then they're the optimal two. I just love watching Matoma play. I just think he's absolute quality on the eye. So I've gone for a stats and an eye test to kind of balance it out a little bit. Oh, Kareem has Salah. Any other Salah owners out there like me? Kept the faith. I think we're definitely in the minority. Again, I nearly sold him last week for Madison and would have had that hit repaid with Madison's assist. So yeah, I'm hoping for some fireworks for Salah. Two tough games, but hoping that Liverpool can kind of step up to it in that match. And then up front, I've gone for Watkins and Tony. I think that's pretty standard across the board. Not too overly enamoured with having Tony to away games, Brighton and United. Again, I think if I was offered the switch for free to Isak or Havertz, I'd probably take it. But again, for a hit, for a double, I think I'll leave Tony's got the pens as well. I've got Harry Kane on the bench as well to complete my bench boost, which is going to look something like Steele, Zinchenko, Saka and Kane too. So I think I'm pretty well set up. I don't think I'm going to score massively higher than a lot of people. I think everyone's teams are relatively similar. I think we might be seeing some hits, you know, some minus fours, minus eights. And obviously, there's a lot of investment in Brentford. There's a lot of investment in Brighton, but that's fine because they've obviously got the double as well. But, you know, if people are taking hits, they're getting the likes of Fernandes, they're getting the likes of Madison, Isak, if they're swapping out their Arsenal players, trying to get in more United players, all that kind of thing, then, you know, that could be my edge because I haven't really got to do that. I mean, I'm seeing people swapping, you know, Gabriel Zinchenko for sure. I don't mind that move. I think that could pay off this week. And then obviously you've got a game next week where United have Everton and Arsenal playing Liverpool. So that could pay off straight away. I'm seeing people sell Saka for the likes of Fernandes. I like that move less, I think, especially if you haven't got the wild card. I think you're going to be wanting to get Saka back in. I think he's just one of those players where the fixtures don't even really matter. There's such potential every week. Arsenal are having that kind of season where they're just above and beyond other teams in the league. So selling their players, no matter what the fixtures are, is always a massive risk. And then Kane is someone I'm probably looking to ditch next week. He's got a good record against Everton, but his way, there's a lot of unrest with Kane at the moment. I think if you're selling Kane and looking to, you know, target this double game week, looking to bring in Havertz, for example, or another double game week forward, then why not? This is the week to kind of live a little. So I think out of all the single game week players in your team, you know, if you're thinking about a minus four to sell them, I think, you know, if you're happy with how your team's going to be set up going forward and you've got entry routes back into Haaland or other players that you want, I'm going to say go for it. Absolutely go for it. The only exception for me being Saka. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a dividing week. We're going to see people probably like me playing it a little bit safer with the bench. I think I'm happy with that bench of Zinchenko, Saka and Kane. I mean, saying that, it sounds like a pretty good bench, doesn't it? It's just the fact there are double game weeks going on. But I think we're going to see people attack this. And, you know, what I want to see really is the people who attack it getting absolutely massive scores. Because if you're brave and you go against what everyone else is doing, you deserve to get the rewards. So, yeah, let me know what your kind of plans are. PSB's asking, do I like Odegaard to Madison? If I had Odegaard and I had the money to send him to Madison, there wouldn't even be a consideration. I think I'd probably do it with Martinelli or Trossard as well. I just think Saka is the one long-term Arsenal hold in this team. You keep him, and if you've got others, I think they're a bit more dispensable with the run that's going on. So, yeah, Odegaard to Madison for a hit. Easy move. John Lloyd, similar bench for me. Feels brave to hold and not hit for doublers. Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? Because, I mean, we've seen bench boosts in previous seasons where people have bench boosted with single game week players. I remember Mark bench boosted with 3 Leeds players, was it? A couple of years ago against Brighton. And Brighton won that game 1-0. And then, you know, you're kind of finished. And people who are braver and go for the double game week, so have got more to, you know, more to kind of a gain with the second game. Again, it depends how your team's set up, really. You've got to remember that the players you're taking out are kind of, you know, longer term holds for a lot of people, which is why I can understand the Zinchenko to Shaw move, for example, or the Arsenal defender to a Shaw move, because you're getting Shaw in for a few more doubles down the line and probably a better run of games as well. So I can completely understand it. Selling Kane is a bit more risky, obviously, because he's got a home game against Bournemouth, I think, coming up pretty soon, or is it an away match? And you might want to get him back in for that game. So, yeah, just use Peter's in the chat. Use FPL team. See how your team's set up. Check out your team in different weeks with different transfers and different moves. I mean, that is what I've done. This is how I'm set up for game week 30. So I was all set to use my wild card in this game week. And the main reason for that was so I could move back for Haaland. I did Black Box last night with Let's Talk Andy. Check that out if you haven't already. He was excellent. And he just said to me, well, why don't you just keep it and just do Kane up to Haaland and save the wild card for a bit later. So I had a look at how my team would be next week if I did that. So it would be Kepa and goal with Chilwell, Trippier and Henry, McAllister, Rashford, Saka, Salah, and then Haaland will come in for Kane, Watkins and Tony. And I look at that team and I think, okay, that looks pretty strong. Obviously, if Tony's got a ban, if he does end up getting a booking in one of these next two games, he's going to be out. That could sort of change my thinking a little bit. It would basically mean keeping my wild card for Kane. That is what it would come down to if I'm using Gaming 30, because I could use it. I could just use a transfer to bring Haaland back in. So I think it's looking a bit less likely that I do use the wild card, which actually does make, you know, a Zinchenko to Shaw hit or a Saka to Madison hit a little bit more tempting, because then I can always reverse that in a few weeks down the line. Do I think Madison outscores Saka by 4 points with a double game week in 29 and then Bournemouth at home in 30 and Saka's got Leeds and Liverpool? When you put it like that, it's tempting, isn't it? But yeah, we'll kind of have to see how it goes. Really interested to know what happens with Tony and this ban. I think whatever happens, Tony's got to be leaving people's sides pretty soon, because that ban is going to be imminent, whether it's the 10 yellows or whether it's the gambling ban. We'll have to wait to see. But yeah, I think if Tony does survive, then I think my wildcard also survives, and I'll use it a little bit later down the line. So yeah, going back to my team, in terms of my moves, Ward to Steel is definitely happening. There might be a hit of Zinchenko to Shaw. There might be a hit of Saka to Madison, but I think that's probably quite unlikely. It's Leeds at home. They should win that game fairly comfortably. But I do love Madison. Tricky one. Watch list-wise, I don't think there's been any changes since the last one of these that I did. I still feel the pool of players in general is quite low. I was hoping for a few more names to kind of flag up for this double game week, but not really seeing a huge amount of options. Trippier is still leading the way in terms of kind of attacking potential. 4.35, 0.8 sharp and 90. For him, it's not crazy high. Chilwell's catching him up. I think he'll probably overtake him at some point. I think he had the highest XGI in the Everton game without getting any returns. 0.33 for him. And then kind of the other players that I'd be looking at. Henry's in my team, 0.21 for him. Reece James, is he going to play? Is he going to be a problem for us all season? You know, is he going to ever recover from these injuries? I think Chelsea getting through in the Champions League was a bit of a nightmare for people looking to buy him. So I don't think he's going to be coming back into my side. But one of those players that you've got to kind of keep your eye on. Zinchenko, is there? Sure. I mean, look at those. That non-penalty XG per 90 stat for sure is so low. Again, you know, you're basically, we have him down as this kind of attacking, marauding defender, but really, his attacking stats don't paint that picture at all. And I think you're actually quite lucky if you get any attacking returns from him. You've got to be hopeful more on the clean sheets. Estupiñán's there, 0.11. Some concerns about him flying back from Australia. Has he been relaxing on Bondi Beach? And whether he's going to start that first game. He's also really, really poor in that Grimsby game as well. So there's a bit of doubt around him, but still obviously the bright player that I'd go for. But again, attacking stats, so, so poor. 0.11, absolutely nothing. The only player on my list that's worse than that is Botman, 0.08. Looking at midfield, again, this might help with some captaincy kind of dilemmas. You can see Rashford's at the top since the restart, 0.65. McAllister just behind him, 0.63. Over the last 6 weeks, though, McAllister is top of all midfielders for that stat. Really, really impressive underlying stats for him. And then obviously got the penalties to boot. But since the restart, he's level with Salah, which is something I probably wouldn't have expected from McAllister. Looking a bit further down the list, you've got Matoma, 0.46, level with Saka as well. He's actually at the bottom of the list. So just hit an 18-point return. But, you know, looking at all of the players I've been monitoring since the watch list, in terms of expected attacking returns, Saka is right down at the bottom, lower than Odegaard, Maddison, March, Sterling, Fernandez, Martinelli, all these players. So I still think that 18 points was kind of hard to predict. I don't think any of us saw that coming without a pen being thrown in there. But yeah, not bitter at all. And then forwards, we've got Nunes at the top still since the restart, 0.8. Haaland, 0.67. It's going to be interesting to see how many have left a kind of entry route back for him. I think the Kane exit is something that I don't know why. I just didn't really think of selling Kane. I just thought I'd kind of keep him. But again, with no double game weeks on the horizon and a lot of money being put into him and Spurs playing how they are, I think he's actually more disposable than maybe I'd give him credit for. So I think that makes the route back to Haaland a lot easier for a lot of people. We've got Tony next, 0.62. And Havertz, I think he's winning the race for me over Joao Felix, for anyone considering a Chelsea forward. Their stats are pretty much identical, but Havertz has got the pens. Watkins, we're hoping for big things for him in this double game week. And then he's got a home game against Forest next week. So he's a good hold. And then Kane, right down the bottom of this list, 0.49, but still managing to tick away with the goals. You know, as he's been doing kind of all season. And as Andy pointed out last night, 21 points behind Haaland in the overall ranking. So whatever happens, he's had another great season, but Spurs will be without another trophy. So I wonder what's going to happen to him in the summer. So that's the watch list. Again, no kind of major changes. I think everyone is kind of aware of how limited in some ways the pool of players is. Do let me know in the comments if you've got any kind of tricks up your sleeve. I'm seeing a few people in the chat mentioning West Ham players, Zuma, potentially, Bowen, maybe, Danny Ings. These are players that aren't on this watch list, but might be an interesting kind of one-week punt. The defensive data for West Ham is better than the attacking data, so I think I prefer the likes of Zuma over using a midfield spot for a Bowen. The forwards as well, I think, you know, with Haaland, Tony, Cavertz, Watkins, Kane, I think it's hard to justify using one of those for Danny Ings unless it purely is a kind of a one-week punt. So, yeah, I think Zouma is probably the West Ham defender that I'd pick. And it's at a time when there isn't a lot of defensive options. So, yeah, Zouma for 1 week, why not give it a go? Isak as well. Isak isn't on my forwards list here. He's probably not someone I'm looking at for the longer term, given that, you know, Wilson... I just think there's a bit of a risk when Wilson's fully fit. But again, for this week, I think Isak is a really nice punt. I think if I was on a free hit, I would definitely have Isak in my side, you know, alongside Watkins and which other forward? Maybe Havertz. What do I go for? Who have I got at the moment? Watkins, Tony, Kane. If I was on a free hit. Free hit forwards. Yeah, I think I'd go Havertz, Isak, and Watkins. Yeah, that'd be my three. Havertz not picked it in training yesterday. Interesting. Well, I'll go Felix then. If he's not in, I'm sure Havertz will be fine. That's it. Any questions for me before I finish and start my normal working Day, let's just have a look. Ali Mack, any West Ham interest? Yeah. Like I said, I think probably only Zuma for this week. They're just not a team that I'd want to fill my team with kind of longer term. They have got the double in 34 as well. So they're not a bad investment. I just think they're not a very good side this season. So no, I can't say I'm too excited by those. PSB, love the banter between you and Andy on Twitter. Yeah, we do get each other a little bit. FCH, Sean, Odegaard to Barnes. Yeah, I like that move. I think Odegaard out this week for a double game week player is a fairly solid move. I think we do want to kind of be cutting down on our Arsenal a little bit. I think three Arsenal for the run-in is probably excessive. I'm still not entirely sure about their ability to keep clean sheets as well. So I kind of feel like selling one of the fringe, I mean, call them fringe, but doing amazingly well. One of the fringe Arsenal mids, other than Saka, is probably the highest priority. And then maybe the defence and then Saka. I kind of put it in that order. Pacoda Larsson, Ward replacement, apart from De Gea and Steele, yeah, tricky one. I mean, I was looking at Areola, but I'm not sure if Fabianski's going to be back. I mean, De Gea and Steele, I think, are my two favourites. I think Kepp would be my next one, given they've got the two home games and he should make some saves. Rohit, Raghaven, move Saka to Bruno Fernandes for a -4. Depends how much you want to attack the game week. I think if you haven't got the wild card, then no, I'd want to keep Saka. If you've got the wild card and you can kind of think about ways of reversing that or bringing Saka back in, then maybe go for it. I couldn't afford to do that, I don't think. I don't think I'd do it. I'm not totally sold on Bruno Fernandes still as an option. But, you know, he's someone that might be a bit of a difference maker for a lot of people who are chasing. So I don't hate it, but no, I wouldn't do it. I'll just take one more question. Which game would you triple captain if you had the chip? Tricky, yeah. I mean, you're probably going to end up using it on Haaland in 34. Probably your best bet. Double game for Haaland, but then there might be a bit of Champions League rotation, things like that. Salah with two home games in that week as well. But yeah, Haaland or Salah for me. That'd be 34 if I still had the chip. Right. Lovely stuff. That's half an hour. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and watching. I'll be back next week when we can dissect everything that's been happening over the double game week. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, everyone sees some massive green arrows. I want to see some massive scores from everyone. Let me know how you get on, and I'll be back next week. See you later.